This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 31st. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. It's been just over a year since the GameStop rally that drove the company's share price to skyrocketing highs. For many small-time investors, the meme stock mania was seen as a way of turning the tables on Wall Street, sticking big short sellers with losses while an army of everyday people prospered. It's a fun story, but it's not quite what happened. On today's show, WSJ's Heard on the Street editor, Spencer Jacob, tells us who actually walked away from the frenzy with the biggest wins. That's after these headlines. In response to a growing controversy over the podcaster Joe Rogan, Spotify is publishing its policies around content on its platform and creating a COVID-19 information hub. Last week, folk rocker Neil Young asked for his music to be removed from Spotify, accusing Rogan of spreading misinformation about COVID vaccines. More musicians and podcasters have since followed suit. The controversy has posed a challenge for Spotify, which dove into podcasting as a way to expand beyond music and become more profitable. In a blog post on Sunday, Spotify's CEO said the company plays a critical role in supporting creator expression while balancing it with users' safety. At this time, Spotify said it isn't removing any of the episodes of Rogan's show that detractors say spread vaccine misinformation. Dow Jones, the publisher of The Wall Street Journal, has a content partnership with Gimlet Media, a unit of Spotify. SoftBank's Fixit Man is leaving the firm after a pay dispute. As Chief Operating Officer, Marcelo Claure helped SoftBank clean up problems at its investments, including the botched IPO attempt by WeWork and turning around the money-losing cell provider Sprint. Sources say Claure's departure comes after he sought as much as $2 billion in compensation that he believed he was promised by SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son. But Claure won't be leaving empty-handed. He's walking away with an investment valued at about $300 million and a severance of $30 to $50 million. Google plans to invest up to $1 billion in a deal with the Indian telecommunications company Bharti Airtel. The partnership will focus on enabling affordable access to smartphones and growing the cloud ecosystem for businesses across India. Google's been trying to build up its presence in Asia's third largest economy, where hundreds of millions of people have yet to get online. And Shopify formally responded to allegations in a textbook pirating lawsuit, denying it's liable for alleged copyright and trademark infringement by online sellers using its platform. Last month, a group of five textbook publishers, including Pearson and McGraw-Hill, sued Shopify, saying the e-commerce company should be held responsible for unauthorized textbooks, test packs, and solutions manuals that were sold through Shopify. In its response, Shopify said it complies with existing copyright laws, which generally protect companies like it from being sued for users' violations. It also said it's taken down vast quantities of alleged infringing materials per the plaintiff's request. All right, coming up, did an army of traders on Reddit defeat Wall Street's Goliaths? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B. Curious to know how Merkle B2B can connect you with the right audience? It's not magic. It's the integration of data, technology, and creativity. Discover more at MerkleB2B.com.
About a year ago, shares of GameStop hit $483 apiece, a 1,600% jump over just 2 weeks. The frenzy was led by an army of traders on Reddit who mobilized to buy stocks like GameStop that hedge funds had bet would fail. Many of those individual investors saw the meme stock craze as a way to beat Wall Street at its own game. But looking back, it turns out plenty of hedge funds and big banks actually ended up lining their pockets as well. Some big tech players in the whole affair made out pretty well too. WSJ Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob has a book coming out about this called The Revolution That Wasn't, and he's here to tell us more. Hi, Spencer. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Spencer, this rally and others like it were supposed to be for the benefit of small investors, mostly younger ones like Gen Zers and millennials. It was supposed to help them stick it to Wall Street. But a year later, we're finding out that's not really what happened. I want to talk about some of the people who made loads of money from this. Start us off with those from Wall Street. How exactly did hedge funds benefit?
So hedge funds do all kinds of things. They go long stocks. They do what you and I might do and buy them and hope they go up in price and pay a dividend. And some go short. But hedge funds, you know, are always sniffing the ground for the next opportunity. So when one is bleeding, then they're like sharks. They'll eat each other, right? And so when one hedge fund is bleeding money, another hedge fund will see what's going on and gobble up some of its positions or jump on the bandwagon with these young people and buy those stocks and, you know, for a few hours or a couple of days or whatever. So it's not like hedge funds didn't make money. And there are a lot of other investment funds that simply found themselves at the right place at the right time. They had taken positions in GameStop or AMC or lent money or had other sort of complicated securities with which they were involved. And those companies had a windfall. And then you have other rich people who also had a windfall who happened to work for these companies or be on the boards of those companies. You had, you know, the management of AMC has sold more than $90 million worth of its own stock in the last year. There was no way they're going to be able to do that. The management of GameStop sold nearly $300 million worth of stock, or let's say had exit packages worth that much as they left the company. It was an incredible stroke of luck for people who did nothing to deserve it and already were pretty rich. So, you know, if you don't like rich people in the corporate world, then you kind of really didn't accomplish what you're trying to do. And beyond that, a lot of middlemen definitely made money because they process these trades. And the brokers that are favored by this young generation say they charge no commission. And so you could trade as much as you want and there's no apparent cost to it. But of course, everything costs money, right? And someone's making money on all of those trades. That's the business model of brokers like Robinhood and companies like Citadel Securities and Virtu Financial process those trades and gladly pay Robinhood and other brokers when they send those trades because they make money too.
For the small individual investors, how exactly did they end up?
So, I mean, it's always difficult to talk about a group. You know, I spoke to people who were mainly on the losing side of things. And of course, there was one person in particular who hasn't spoken to anybody since he spoke with the Journal one time a year ago, Keith Gill, who was sort of an inspirational guy who made a lot of money. That's the person everybody remembers. He went from having about $50,000 in a very risky position in GameStop to, at one point, over $50 million, so 1,000 times his money. And so he really was the sort of the poster boy during this whole thing. And he did quite well, and good for him, and good for anybody else who made money, who was in the right place at the right time. But it's quite clear from reading message boards and speaking with people that there were a lot of losers too, especially today, for those people who were supposed to quote-unquote have diamond hands. Diamond hands is slang on Wall Street bets for holding on no matter what. The reason they had to hold on was that they were trying to attempt a short squeeze where you try to snap up all the available shares so that the short sellers can't exit their position. That didn't work, but a lot of them held on anyway and had been told to hold on. And so today, they're sitting, depending on when they bought, on small gains, small losses, in some cases, big losses.
What about the big players on the tech side that helped make all of this happen? There's GameStop, Reddit, and Robinhood. Let's start with GameStop. A year later, what's happened with them?
GameStop is a huge question mark. So maybe it'll be center for NFTs. Maybe it'll be stronger in e-commerce. We have not seen anything there yet. Maybe we will. GameStop has raised a lot of money. AMC, another meme stock, also has raised a lot of money. And that's more controversial because they took this exalted position that they were in, because even after the sort of the initial surge was over, their share prices were much higher than they were before because of all these retail investors who had bought the stock. And then they sold more stock, and they really the only buyers were the same retail investors. And so now the companies are in better position. They have that cash. But the question is what they're going to do with it. Both of the companies have said things about having NFTs, and AMC is talking about accepting Dogecoin and other cryptocurrencies, all the kind of buzzwords you want to tick right now. But it's very tough to say whether it's going to be a success because they've been so mum whenever investors have had a chance to ask them questions about it. Now, Reddit is preparing for its IPO. And Reddit is a social network that was really the perfect place for this plan to be hatched. And the reason I say that is that unlike other social networks where there are followers and often with identifiable names, but not always on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, everybody uses a pseudonym on Reddit. And so you can be very, very boastful. And also you can break a category down into very distinct, discrete subcategories. There are 100,000 subreddits. So even within the world of investing, there are some that are more sober and dull, and there are some that are super exciting. Wall Street Bets, where this happened, was on the very exciting end of the spectrum.
Okay, so you also touched on Reddit there. Tell us about Robinhood then.
What's changed, and Robinhood just reported its quarterly results and its full year results. They were very disappointing. The stock fell sharply. So what we've seen is that that quarter was the peak for their activity when the GameStop squeeze happened. Then you had a surge in cryptocurrency trading after that, which was very lucrative for them. But since then, you've had a real stagnation or decline in activity. The average revenue that they make per user has come down significantly since the heyday, which was the meme stock rally.
So this meme stock revolution was supposed to benefit a very, let's say, common character in the startup crowd, the small investors. My colleague actually referred to them as the basement investors. So what would you say is the main takeaway from all of this?
I think the main takeaway is that it wasn't a revolution. If your goal, and not everyone had the same goal, some people had one or the other and some had both, but if your goal was to give Wall Street a black eye and make a lot of money, they didn't really do a good job as a group on either of those counts. And it's really kind of the same old story that when you have a big upsurge, especially from new investors who haven't been exposed before to investing, and it seems easy and it seems fun and it seems exciting, and you don't totally understand who's making money or how they're making money, then sort of you're the one who's getting your pockets picked. And Wall Street picks people's pockets for a living. I mean, that's just what it does. You know, if you engage with them in a really active way and think you're going to outsmart them, then that's something that they love. It's the same reason that the lights go off in the casino when somebody makes a jackpot and just won a lot of their money. The casino's not sad to see that, because the person jumping up and down and, you know, carrying a huge bucket of coins or winning a jackpot or whatever is exciting for everybody else in the casino, and they plunk more coins in when they see that. So not that Wall Street is a casino, but it's the same psychological reaction. The sort of seeing the excitement and seeing other people get rich brings a lot more money into mainly to Wall Street's pockets and not your pocket.
All right. That was WSJ's Heard on the Street editor, Spencer Jacob. Spencer, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.